would like us to look at the first nine verses of Proverbs chapter 1. Here we read the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety or wisdom to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. I trust the Lord will prepare our hearts for what's ahead. Through these verses that we have just considered, let you be standing in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come unto you with thankfulness again for this Lord's Day and this place you have raised up years ago. You continue to provide for it. You continue to maintain. You continue to bring out folks, and we trust that we have a good testimony from you in this community. Thank you for your word, and we thank you for this portion that we have the opportunity to look at today. And I pray, Lord, that we might benefit by the words we look at. I pray that we might gain wisdom from you, knowledge, understanding, not just facts to fill our heads, but that we might realize its relevance to our lives and how you would have us live the truth you teach us. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open. Pray as even this message goes out over the internet, there might be some that might be listening today that know nothing of what a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ entails. Perhaps at this point they have no interest in the things of you, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would use the word and tweak their interest to continue listening. And we pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself through this portion of Scripture. Help us to realize the truth regarding the choices that we make with our lives, and that you give us, out of your goodness and grace, the opportunities of life to make the right choice regarding our eternal future. And I pray that each one that's listening will make the right choice with you. We thank you that your word has been preserved for us. Now as we look at it, we wait on you. And we thank you in your name. And you may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to, leave that Proverbs portion open, or turn to it if you closed it already. I do want us to look at this first chapter. Choices. We make them every day. Some are insignificant. Do you want
a Pepsi or a Coke. No big real significance to that, is it? And we make multitudes of decisions and choices like that every day, but you know, some choices that we make are very consequential. There are consequences attached to some of the choices that we make, and we need to make and choose very wisely when making a choice. And it's this second kind of choice that I want us to think about this morning. The choice that each one of us individually make as to whom we will listen to and how we will live our lives. Who is going to tell us what's right and what's wrong in our life? What are we going to do once we know what's right and what's wrong? How do we live our lives? I would like us to see, number one, the choices revealed in verses 1 through 9. Verses 1 through 9, the opportunity or the choices revealed. And I want us to look at the opportunity. There are several things that are brought to light in those verses we read for our scripture reading this morning. Notice it starts out, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. What is the point? What is the value of the Proverbs that God gave Solomon to write down? Well, we see the opportunity available. If I pay attention to these, we see in verse 2, these are designed so that I might know wisdom and understanding, and that it might make clear to perceive, to make clear the words of understanding. God's word is so that we might receive the instruction of wisdom, judgment, and equity. And it will give wisdom to the simple, to the young man, knowledge, discretion. A wise man will hear and will listen to what God has to say to us. You say, but Pastor, it says right in verse 1, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Where did Solomon get this? Who was inspiring him to write these words down? He wasn't dreaming these things up. This was what God was directing him to write down. And notice in verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Notice that it says in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be of ornament, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So, as we think of the opportunity that these verses give to us, let's notice A, the wise choice. The wise choice. We see it in verse 5. A wise man will hear, he'll increase learning. A man of understanding is going to attain unto wise counsels. To understand the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, what is that?
Liberty suggests it means submission to the Lord and His revelation, or His word. What do we mean when we say the fear of the Lord? We're not talking about terror and you're terrified of the Lord, but scripturally what we are looking at in this portion, the fear of the Lord is that submission to Him, recognizing who He is, what right He has to instruct and guide and direct my life, and then submission to His revelation, His word. Living in the fear of the Lord means that, beloved. Submitting to the Lord and His word. And it says that the wise man, verse 5, is going to hear. And he's going to increase in learning. In verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the wise choice. For a person to recognize who God is, what He means to me, and the importance of His word, and I want to be directed by Him. What is the fear and how would we define the fear of the Lord, though? We see here the fear of the Lord in this seventh verse. Number one is called the beginning of knowledge. I have some references that I have collected, and I'm not going to give you time to look them up, but if you're a note taker, I'll give you time to at least jot down the reference, and you can go look at them later to see if I'm telling you the truth. As we think of trying to define, as we ask ourselves, what is the fear of the Lord? Our text tells us, number one, it is the beginning of knowledge. That's where we begin to find true knowledge, God's direction for our lives. By having that proper submission to the Lord and His Word, as I submit myself to Him, He begins to reveal more of Himself to me. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord. Number two is the beginning of wisdom. In our text, it says it's the beginning of knowledge. Psalm 111:10 says it's the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. That's the submission to His word, His revelation, and what it says. His praise endureth forever. The Liberty Study Bible, in that particular reference, Psalm 111:10, says the fear of the Lord is an awe-filled reverence toward God. An awe-filled reverence toward God. If I talk about living my life in the fear of the Lord, there is that reverence, that awe-struck being in His presence. After all, He has revealed Himself to mankind, and we can be rightly related to Him, the God of the universe. There is none other like Him. Fear the Lord. When a person comes to that place, that is the beginning of being on the trail for understanding and gaining more wisdom. In Proverbs 8:13a, it says, the fear of the Lord is, number three, to hate evil. That's what the fear of the Lord means. If I have a right fear of the Lord and reverence for Him and His Word, I will not tolerate evil. I will hate evil. We can compare Proverbs 6:16, which says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And listen, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Why do we live the way we do? Why do we avoid certain things in life around us? Because by the fear of the Lord, we have come to understand these things are not, first of all, pleasing to my Lord, but secondly, they are not good for me. And so, by the fear of the Lord, we depart from evil. Somebody asks you, why do you as a Christian, how come you don't do this? How come you don't do that? How come you don't go here? How come you're not involved in such and such? By the fear of the Lord, I stay away from those things. Not because I'm afraid God is going to strike me down with lightning, but it's because of the proper reverence and respect for who He is and what He has revealed to me in His Word. And when one has made the wise choice, they have chosen for my life, I want to be honoring, I want to honor the Lord, I want to find out what He has for me. I want to learn more and more about fearing Him in the right sense. Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sounds like Psalm 111:10, doesn't it? And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. If we would compare that with Proverbs 15:33a, it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs 14:27 tells us, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. With the right fear of the Lord, I will not be making choices with my life that are going to be dumb, stupid, and costly. By the fear of the Lord, I will recognize this is not right, this is not good. And as it says there in Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, shows me the right way God wants me to live my life, and it'll show me that I need to depart from this because this is going to be harmful. This contains the snares of death. Finally, we sang it. We sang it a few moments ago in Psalm 19:9. We sang, the fear of the Lord is what? It is clean and it endures forever. Well, we have described what the fear of the Lord is, and the wise choice is for the person to make that choice. I want to understand what God's Word says. I want to understand how I can live my life for Him. I want to know what's best. I want to know what's evil so that I can stay away from it. In contrast to the wise choice seen in verses 5 through 7, I call your attention to the foolish choice in verse 7b. But fools despise wisdom, and instruction. The foolish choice is the man or the woman or the young person or whomever they may be who has no interest in the things of the Lord. No interest in finding out what God has to say. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. Don't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear that. I don't have time for that. In reality, we discover that no interest in the things of the Lord, as we see here in the foolish choice, is very characteristic of the life of the ungodly person. Romans chapter 3, and I'll let you turn to that one. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Here we see, as Paul describes the unsaved world and those in it that are living their lives apart from Christ, he begins by saying in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That is exactly what we saw here in Proverbs 1. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We go on. He says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable or useless. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps or snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And notice how he concludes it. And there is what? No fear of God before their eyes. This is the foolish person. No fear of God. May I suggest to you that we see multitudes of people around us living their lives with absolutely no fear of God whatsoever. The things they're involved in, what they are known for, their lifestyle. When you talk to them about the things of God, multitudes will laugh in your face, won't they? They have no fear of God. God to them, if there is a God, in the minds of many of them, is no big deal. I can handle that. I'm not worried. I'm having a great time in life right now. Don't bother me with your fear of the Lord words and talking about the things of God. And that's the way multitudes live their lives. The foolish choice, that's what we're looking at here. It's really spelled out for us. If we go back to our text now in Proverbs 1. So that you can see I'm not just making up something here. Notice in verse 22, how long you simple ones Will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Look at verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Notice verse 30. They would none of my counsel. I don't want to hear anything about God. And they despise all my reproof. Wisdom is speaking here as a person. And the Lord is revealing His truth in that dialogue. And we'll see that as we go back. And notice number 2. Wisdom's reachability. Wisdom's reachability. We've seen the choices revealed in verses 1 through 7. The wise choice, who chose the fear of the Lord and all the benefits of it, as opposed to the foolish choice, who wanted nothing to do with the Lord. Beloved, as I'm talking, I trust you're thinking, but we're talking about lives here. We're talking about your life. What kind of choice have you made with your life? We're talking about your neighbor's lives. We're talking about perhaps your family members. How are they living their life? What kind of a choice have they made with their lives? And what's ahead for them because of the choice they've made? Let's look at wisdom's reachability in verses 20 through 23. What do you mean? Reachability or availability. Is this something that a person has a hard time understanding? Is this the ways of God? Is this something that is so hard to find that nobody could really find it? It says here in verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth or raises her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse of streets. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, and her reachability, we saw in verse 22, wisdom cries out to these foolish ones, how long, you simple ones, are you going to continue in your ways? When are you going to listen to me? When are you going to turn to me? God is speaking to hearts, and that's what God is saying. When will you listen? I'm here. I'm available if you would just turn to me. Look at verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Is God unreachable? Is it impossible for a person to ever come into the right relationship with God? As we look at wisdom's reachability in these 4 verses, 20 through 23, the opportunities are available for a person who has a desire to know the truth about the things of the Lord. But the problem is, so many people on the streets and on the roads today don't want to hear it. They hate knowledge, verse 29. They have not chosen the fear of the Lord. They don't want to know the counsel of the Lord. They have despised all of His reproof. they can't blame it on the fact that, well, I just really never had an opportunity. I know so many people that have made the foolish choice. You would talk with them, they've had opportunities in their lives, and they have closed the door, they've shut the mind, they've turned away, they've sealed up their hearts from the things of the Lord. Verse 22 tells us this. It says that fools hate knowledge. And that's the issue. Fools hate knowledge. The Lord Jesus Christ described himself as, I am the way, the truth, the life. But you share that with a man or woman on the street so many times, and you know what? They hate the sound of that. They don't want to hear that, because fools hate knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that. When I come to the place that I submit myself to the Lord, and I recognize He's revealed Himself in His Word and wants to teach me, and I want to find out what that Word says, I can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. But a fool hates that knowledge. A fool wants nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, way, truth, and life. As we think about this, we see that so often the unsaved person, when you talk with them, they are content with the way their life is being lived. And they have no desire to hear about the Lord. We see that illustrated in some portions of Scripture. For instance, in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. In verses 56 and 57. When Stephen was being stoned by those who hated the Lord and hated hearing anything about the Lord. Shortly before the stones took their toll and his life was taken from him, in verse 56 and 57, as Stephen was witnessing to those unbelievers as they were hurling their stones, it says here, Stephen said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice. What's the next thing to say? They stopped their ears. They plugged their ears. We don't want to hear this. And they ran upon him with one accord. You see, that's the foolish person illustrated here in Proverbs chapter 1 this morning in our text. They hate knowledge. They have chosen. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't want to be led or find out what God's Word says concerning their lives. The book of Zechariah, one of those little ones that does its best to hide itself from you, one of those minor prophets, Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 12. Listen to this. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah. Who was Zechariah? He was a prophet of God,
sent with the message of God in his heart, in his mouth, speaking to sinful people. And the sad thing of it is, those sinful people were the people of God, the nation of Israel. They had closed their ears and their hearts to the things of the Lord. They had made some foolish choices. But God put another message on Zechariah's heart, and here we listen, and here we see. Verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. There's his authority. Saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow and the fatherless, the stranger nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against your brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. God's people had no interest in learning what God's message was for them. What fools! Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. And the words of the Lord of hosts, and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Yes, as we look at the foolish choice, and we look at wisdom's reachability, the problem isn't that people, that they couldn't find the Lord if they wanted to. The problem is, most people don't want to hear about the Lord. We saw it in Romans chapter 10, or Romans chapter 3, we concluded that verse 18. The kind of the overall description of the unsaved person, there is no fear of God in their hearts. So they're all set, they think. They've got life by the tail. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to be concerned about. Don't talk to me about your Jesus and eternal life. I'm all set. As we have looked at the choices revealed and wisdom's reachability, I want us to move on in verses 24 through 27 to number 3. Wisdom's reminder and rebuke. Wisdom's reminder and rebuke to these fools who have not chosen to pay attention to what God has for them. Let's look. Verse 24 and 25, wisdom's reminder. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof, or simply did not want my reproof when I was trying to reach you. Here's the rebuke in verse 26. The Lord says, through the voice of wisdom, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh
as the whirlwind when distress and anguish cometh upon you. As we see here, wisdom's reminder and rebuke to these who have made the foolish choice. They have lived for self, they have lived for pleasure. The whole life has been one of rejecting the things of the Lord. The Lord says, I'm going to laugh when you begin to have trouble in your life. You say, but wait a minute. Our God is a God of love. That doesn't sound like something that really God wouldn't laugh at these sinners when they begin to experience trouble. Turn to Psalm 2, 1 through 4. Psalm 2, 1 through 4. And the psalmist says, why do the heathen or the nations rage and the people imagine a vain or a foolish thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Make no mistake, the psalmist is talking about those who have closed God out and against his anointed say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Notice what the next verse says. He that sitteth in the heavens shall, what's your Bible say? Laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Life is going to be horrible and miserable for them because they have not chosen, they didn't want anything to do with the Lord. These are the ones that have chosen foolishly, like we're looking in Proverbs 1. And as wisdom reminds them of choices they've made, he says, you want to know the truth. When you begin to experience trouble because of the choices you made, I'm going to sit here and laugh. You know, there's a New Testament principle in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, and what does it say? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, what's the rest of it?
That shall he also reap.
That's God's word. The man on the street says, I'm not worried, I'm not concerned. Guess what? The day is coming when the man on the street is going to remember those words with much regret if he enters into eternity outside of Christ. He may have uttered, I'm not afraid, I'm not concerned, I don't want to hear those things about the Lord, but you know the day is going to come when he's going to be standing before the Lord. And he's going to be pouring his heart out, but God, but God, but God, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You didn't want anything to do with me when you lived, and it's too late. Psalm 37. Verses 12 and 13. Psalm 37, 12 and 13. It says, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall what? Laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. There is a day coming for those who have foolishly chosen to live their lives apart from
the Lord.
And we notice here in verse 28 through 32, number 4, wisdom's reality.
Wisdom's reality.
And in verse 28, wisdom speaking, here the Lord speaking, personified as wisdom. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, which means diligently, but they shall not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They made a foolish choice with their lives. And you? They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. You can write Galatians 6:7 beside that, beloved. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. My Bible has a little footnote here. By the turning away, it means the refusal to listen. The refusal to listen in the hearts of these simple ones, it's going to slay them. And the prosperity of the fools, the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. Yes, as we look at wisdom's reality, the solemn and definite words from the Lord, because of the choice they made with their lives, they've never wanted anything to do with the Lord in the past, and here they will be reaping what they have sown. What a tragedy. But we close in contrast with point number 5 in verse 33, wisdom's reward. What's in store for those who make the wise choice, for those that have turned to the Lord, to those that have accepted Him, to those that live their lives in the fear of the Lord, submitting to Him and His Word and His ways? What have they gained submitting to Him? Let me share. And here again, I'm not going to give you time, but look this up. Jot it down if you're a note taker. I want to share with you in closing the rewards. Wisdom's reward. Okay, I give my life to the Lord. I want to serve Him. I want to live for Him. We talk about, well, I know I'm going to have everlasting life, but you know that's not all. That's not the only thing. Listen, as I give you some references, Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. The Lord is going to be revealing certain truths to His own that the man on the street, they know nothing of. You see, the natural man understandeth not the things of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 1, because they're what? Foolishness unto him. But when you know the Lord, you begin to discover things from His Word. And money can't buy the things that the Lord reveals to you. Psalm 15:4. What reward? It says He honoreth them that fear the Lord. He honors those. Psalm 31:19. O great, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for He set it aside. What's coming? His goodness set aside for those that fear Him, which thou hast brought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalm 33:18-19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those that fear Him. There's a reward. The Lord's watching upon those that hope in His mercy. Why?
to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. The Lord is going to, he's watching and he's going to provide for you and me. Psalm 34, 7 and 9. Here's another reward. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O fear ye the Lord, his saints. There is no want or lack, is what that word want means, to them that fear him. Psalm 147, 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Proverbs 10, 27 says that the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened, long life. Proverbs 19, 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Ecclesiastes 8, 12, and 13, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Have you made the right choice with your life? If not, there's time to repent, to confess your sin, and to turn in genuine faith to the Lord. I realize I'm speaking mostly to Christians, perhaps 100%. God knows your heart. What kind of choice have you made with your life? Who determines how you live? Are you looking to the Lord? Are you walking in his ways? Are you submitting to his word? I trust we'll remember this morning the importance of making the right choice with our lives. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. You have shown us very clearly the importance of submitting ourselves to you, looking unto you, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto you and your Son as the source of life, the only way. O Lord, help us to reach out to those around us whose lives are a living demonstration that they have made the foolish choice. Help us to get out the word. Turn hearts, Lord. Bring unto yourself lost ones. Use us as servants that are faithful to you as we share the word with others. Thank you in your name.